Comrades, sharp and sudden changes in the situation. What more sharp and sudden changes can you want than with the recent events we've seen in Pakistan? Which is now in an explosive situation. On a personal note, it was very inconsiderate of the reactionaries to bump off Benazir just as I was going on my Christmas holiday. But as the Bible says, there's no rest for the wicked. And there's no rest for revolutionaries either. You want a nice, quiet, peaceful period, you picked the wrong time to be born. This, we repeat what we said. We said this, what, at the time of the fall of Stalinism, what Ted said. When all the bourgeois were congratulating themselves and rubbing their hands, you know. And thought that everything had been resolved. And Ted predicted this will be the most explosive, turbulent period in human history. I think Charleston doubted that, Jonathan. It's sweet to say, well, in the whole of world history, that's saying a lot, isn't it? I mean, the fall of the Roman Empire was fairly turbulent. And by the way, there are striking parallels. History does repeat itself. Actually, and there are patterns in history. There are patterns in history. I wrote a little article at the beginning of the year called Reflections on the New Year. I had to write something. But what is interesting is the many capitalist observers now are drawing parallels between this period and precisely the period of the decline and fall of Rome, the Roman Empire. It's a fact. The parallels are quite striking. And you see exactly the same process, if it comes to that, in the period of the decline in feudalism, which was also fairly long drawn out. Now, some comrades are I think some of them are not very bright. You know, some comrades are not very, I'm sorry to say this. And this continued to plug away the, the nature of the period is not what we said. The nature of the epoch is different. I don't know what they mean by that. But the serious bourgeois commentators come to the same conclusion as us. They're seriously concerned. What is the character of the epoch, for goodness sake? Is it really a period of growth and expansion and capitalist progress? Is that what it is? I think you've got to be a little bit not quite right in the head to put this. Or you're living on another planet, not living on this earth anyway. With all the symptoms of a system that's in senile decay. It's in an impasse. Where's the stability? Where's the progress? Where's the advance of civilization? Civilization, as a matter of fact, is in the gravest danger. It's the elements of barbarism. And ultimately the choice will be, as Marx said, between socialism and barbarism. Look, Kenya was supposed to be, until the last few weeks actually, Kenya was supposed to be a success story. They were supposed to have carried out market reforms. Privatization and all the other advice of the IMF were carried out in Kenya. It was supposed to be a shining example of democracy. And what you see in Kenya now is the elements of barbarism, social disintegration. It's the result of that, actually. It's barbarism. And again, it's a sudden and sharp change in the situation. And it's very easy to play up the elements of barbarism, the reactionary elements are self-evident everywhere. Even in advanced countries of Europe, there are elements of barbarism if it comes to that. An element of crime, of drugs, murder, and a collapse of morale in society. Yes, but these are the inevitable symptoms of a society that's in decline. How can you expect anything else of this system? Precisely the symptoms of a society in decline. And capitalism said, Lenin said, capitalism is horror without end. It is horror without end. Now in Pakistan you had the murder of Benazir. And I think the communists do understand that the purpose of a perspective discussion here is not an academic, this is not a university seminar. Or to show how clever we are and what original ideas we got, that's not the purpose of this discussion. The purpose of the perspective discussion is to analyze the position in order to intervene. And we are intervening. That's the difference now. We are intervening. We're intervening very effectively. In Iran, we'll discuss, that's another key country. And above all, in Mexico, of course. In Venezuela, naturally. In Italy, in Spain. But above all, in Pakistan, which at this stage is one of the key countries, if not the country, for this international. How is it possible for our comrades to make the marvelous intervention they made? It was a wonderful intervention, all the comrades have read in the report. You think that's an accident? That we were in the right place at the right time? It's the result of our perspectives, it's the result of these discussions over years and decades. And all the so-called Marxists in the world have been denouncing us because of the PPP, PPP, PPP. Well, we can see the position now. We're the only people in the world that understood what would happen in Pakistan when Benazir returned. You can explain this. We explain how the masses would react. You think the masses read the small print of the documents of the PRD and the PPP and Chavez? They don't read the small print. We took a firm position on this question, and thank goodness we took a firm position on this question. With the result that we have this marvelous position which merits a thorough discussion at the international. And just imagine some of our friends in a certain country who shall be nameless but whose capital is Madrid. I shall not mention any names of some comrades in a country I won't mention the country, but the capital is Madrid.
Spain, for God's sake.
I'm
don't be so obtuse, dear. I'm woken up this morning.
The English humour is lost in these Latins. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why I bother. But I just imagine some comrades always say, oh, it's reaction, fundamentalism, oh, it's a proof of reaction. But of course it's true, of course it's reaction. Of course it's the most brutal, vicious reaction, of course. Yes, but it immediately led to a revolutionary explosion on the part of the masses in Pakistan. Immediately. You know, the revolution needs the whip of the counter-revolution. I think there are parallels between what is occurring in Pakistan. Of course, there are differences, but there are certain parallels between that and the situation in Tsarist Russia after the 9th of January, 1905. And this will have a profound impact on a world scale. Especially in Iran. How does it come about that a Marxist organization is able to thrive and develop and take a leading role in this backward, semi-feudal, Islamic country which is Pakistan? How is it possible? And ultimately it's a question of the superiority of the method of Marxism, the superiority of our ideas. And Pakistan revealed quite a lot. Not just in Pakistan, but on a world scale. There were immediate sharp falls in the stock exchange, not just in Asia, but on a world scale, actually. They panicked. It's part of the reason for the rise of oil prices. It's not just demand in China, there's political reasons. Any element of instability or wars or convulsions in the Middle East or Pakistan immediately causes a rise in the price of oil. And oil, for the first time now, is more than 100. We have to correct the document. The document becomes, the figures become out of date within a month. I think in the document we put the figure of $80 a barrel, and it was correct when it was written, which was not long ago. But what do you see here? What is this? What is the prevailing mood of the bourgeois? In a way, the stock exchange is a bit like a thermometer. You can measure the morale of the bourgeois by looking at the stock exchange. Twelve months ago, the mood was a mood of confidence, and that was reflected on the stock exchange. Only 12 months ago. They'd had a period of 5 years of high record rates. The world economy was going forward fast, as a matter of fact. Five %, I think that's an historic record. Although we've got to be careful on that, the main growth was not in the advanced capitalist countries at all. It was in China, India, and places like that. But they were all, 12 months ago, they were quite happy, they were quite confident. What's the mood now? You read any of the strategists of capital, any of the economists. It's a mood of profound pessimism. The heading, in the words of Trotsky, from the transitional program, the bourgeoisie is tobogganing to disaster with its eyes closed. Twelve months ago, everything was okay. They even stated, 12 months ago, they even stated that there was no sign of volatility. There was no sign of volatility. Because it had been abolished, on the economics this is. Because it had been abolished by the invention of derivatives. I don't know if the commies know what derivatives are. And now they're in a mess. It happened suddenly. The bottom fell out. It's something that we predicted some years ago. We said that the American economy was defying the laws of gravity. It's a bit like these cartoon things, like Bugs Bunny, you know, or Roadrunner, isn't it? Roadrunner. What's it in Spanish? What's Roadrunner? Not Bugs Bunny, no. Comrades, you're showing a lamentable ignorance of popular culture. Coyote, no, algún coyote. ¿Cómo? El coyote. Correcaminos, that's it. At last, Correcaminos. This creature, and he runs like blazes, and he runs over the edge of a cliff. And he keeps on running, there's nothing under his feet, but he keeps on running. And suddenly he looks down, he realizes there's nothing there. And then he falls. Well, that's what happened to the American. That's a fact, that's what happened to the American. There's nothing there. They were selling debt, I've never heard of that in my life. They were selling debt. How can you say? Would you like to buy some debt? Not just small debts, huge debts. Nicely tied up in a package, it's true. It's tied in a package. You couldn't recognize because it's tied up. When they finally looked at these things, they thought that there was nothing there. But we pointed this out some years ago. It finally collapsed with the subprime crisis in America. Which will have very serious consequences. It is having very serious consequences. Both in America and on a world scale. And by the way, there was an interesting comment on The Economist recently about the current issue of The Economist, actually. It says, there is a cyclical element to volatility. As investors move from complacency to alarm. 12 months ago they were complacent, now they're alarmed. And this has got international repercussions. I won't repeat what's said in the document, I think the main points are made. But it spread to Europe. It has spread to Europe. In Britain, you had the collapse of Northern Rock. Again, it was a sudden thing without any warning. Northern Rock is not a small bank, it's the fifth biggest bank in Britain. And for the first time in 160 years, people could see this on the television screens. They didn't have to read PhD theses on political economy. There were huge queues of hundreds of people queuing outside the banks at 2 o'clock in the morning to get their money back. They were afraid they were going to lose all their life savings, and they could have lost their savings. Except the government had to intervene and bail them out. Yes, and what you saw in Britain, you will see in other countries. Spain is a candidate. The same phenomenon takes place in Spain. Spain did very nicely. That's probably why these comrades in Madrid questioned the nature of the epoch, because Spain was doing quite nicely for the last period. But it's based on a bubble. And the bubble is going to break. And incidentally, even during this boom, as I will deal with in a moment, I've got some very striking figures from Japan, extraordinary figures from Japan. These comrades don't understand, they're blind. This is not like the period that I knew in the 1950s and 60s, where there was a capitalist, a serious capitalist, not like that at all. That was a period of full employment and reform, big reforms. at least in the advanced capitalist countries. This is a period where even during this huge boom, and it was a significant boom. There have been the most vicious attacks, constant attacks on living standards, on conditions, on pensions, on everything. It's a boom at the expense of the working class. It's no good citing general abstract figures to me. Oh, the rate of growth and the rate of profit. That's not the point. Even in this period, where there's been a huge increase in profits at the expense of the working class everywhere, the bourgeoisie has stuck the boot in. And therefore, these general figures mean nothing as far as the masses are concerned. Mean nothing at all. In South America, there's been big economic growth for the last period. Have the masses benefited from this? I'll give you the figures later. Masses have not benefited at all. Instead of that, there's been an enormous increase of inequality. Huge fortunes made of obscene wealth on the one hand and extreme misery on the other hand. It's not an accident that the richest man in the world today is no longer Bill Gates, it's Carlos Slim, who's a Mexican. But what the comrades must bear in mind, what you must bear clearly in your heads, is that this is the position in the best situation for capitalism. This is the best they have to offer. What will happen when there's a slump? And there will be a slump. But the timing of it, you can't be precise, but that they're heading for a recession, you better believe it. And Britain, Spain and Ireland are particularly exposed. Because of this assets bubble which they built up in the last period. There'll be more bank failures, you can predict that now, there'll be more banks, in the next 12 few months there'll be bank failures. as there was in the 1930s. In the 1930s, like the collapse of the Credit Anstalt Bank in Austria, which started the crisis. You'll have the same phenomenon again. You have a combination of factors now which are very dangerous for the world economy. Rising inflation, which you'd expect at the peak of a boom anyway. Oil is now over $100 a barrel, and it will increase still further until it collapses. That is, it will collapse at a certain point. And here's another statistic. Gold has reached the price of $860 an ounce. Gold. The highest rate in 28 years. What does that mean? Do you know anything about capitalist economics? You know what it means. The price of gold increases when the bourgeois is looking for a safe place to put its money before a recession or during a recession. That's another telling symptom. Now, we also pointed out the very contradictory nature of the world economy in the last period. Well, the main motor force, despite China, this remains a fact, the main motor force is the USA. It's an amazing fact if you think about it. That a country with no more than 5% of the world's population, less than 5%, has been responsible for almost 20% of growth in the world economy. And what's that based on? It's based on consumption. It's based on demand. But how is that possible? The majority of Americans, like any other country, is working class. They're workers. And the workers of America have not had increased wages for the last at least a decade. 20 years maybe. 20 years. 30, John says. They haven't had a real increase in wages for 30 years. The reason I said 10 years, John, was this. And this indicates the nature of this boom. The average American worker now produces one-third more than he did a decade ago. 30% more. That's a big increase in labor productivity. But real wages have not significantly increased. In fact, they've decreased, according to some estimates. So how is it possible for there to be a boom in demand in a country like that? We've given the answer in the past, and I'll repeat it now. It's a boom that was based on credit, on debt, as a matter of fact. There's colossal debts in America. There's even bigger debts in Britain, by the way. Private debt, corporate debt, and public debt. And this, of course, has got limits, and the limits have been passed. Now, what is the position at the present time in America? There's a steep rise in unemployment. It's 5% now, isn't it, John? 5%. The December figures caused alarm. The housing bubble is finished. The house prices in America are falling. They've fallen quite a lot. And people have been borrowing money against their assets, the so-called assets, the house prices. Now, as long as the boom is going forward, there's a merry carnival of money-making. And people become a bit light-headed. You know, in any kind of party, people drink a lot, they become light-headed. And therefore the banks would lend money to anybody. It takes some money. In America, they lent money to people who had no assets and no jobs and no prospects. Now you see the result. There's a massive wave of repossessions in America. I think the figure in the document is not correct. I think it's 1 million, isn't it, John? 1 million people. 1 million families have lost theirs. That's quite a lot. I think the document says 2 million. There will be 2 million. And millions of other people have not lost their homes. But they can't sell them. The price has collapsed. And yet they still have to pay the mortgage. One economist said, it was a very interesting expression that he used. He referred to a new class of mortgage slaves in America. Now, all this will happen. You see, this is not an academic discussion. I'm not in the slightest bit interested in academic discussions about the economy. This will have results. It must have results. It is having results, psychological results, profound psychological results. The ruling class is alarmed now. That's the explanation for the crisis of the Republican Party. That plus Iraq. They're in a mess. When Bush was elected, the commies will remember, you had all these people, it really makes me sick. You know. All these so-called left-wingers, so-called communists, so-called Trotskyists, clutching their heads. Oh, look, Bush has won the election. Oh. Oh. It's a turn to the right. These guys are always looking for turns to the right. I think they must suffer from a peculiar physiological deformity that obliges them to constantly be turning to the right. They're organically incapable of looking to the left. And we said at the time, so yes, Bush has won the elections. And we predicted he will be the most hated, the most unpopular president in the history of America. Did we say that? I think we did. Commies know we said this. That's the position. Bush has collapsed and the Republicans have collapsed. The Republicans are split. And the ruling class in America now doesn't know what to do. There was a statement I read recently by a chap by the name of Larry Summers. Do you know him, John? You don't know Larry Summers? I'll introduce him. He was the Secretary of the Treasury to Clinton when he was president. In other words, he's a top Democrat, economist and politician. And he says the following, and I quote, America risks the worst downturn since the early 1980s. This is his conclusion. And that's a fact. Nobody knows the depth of this. And nobody knows how it will end, and nobody knows how long it will last. Here's a quote from The Economist, in case you still have any doubts on the subject. This is the current editorial. It says the following: the real question is not the technical issue of whether the downturn will qualify as a recession. But how long it will last. And the reason they're worried about that is because what happened in Japan. Which experienced a similar inflationary boom in the 1980s. And when the bubble was burst in Japan, they were in recession for 10 years. It's clear which way the Americans are thinking, it's clear. But how can they solve it? How can they solve it? You can't solve it. They're all, it's quite amusing actually, they're all these clever free marketeers, these liberals, you know. The moment they're in difficulties, they run with their cap in their hand to the state, to the government. Help us, help us. Where is all the old talk about the free market deciding everything, you know? Market will decide. No, they go running to the government, running to the state. And what are they asking for? They're asking for lower interest rates. Yes, but the bourgeois is frightened of inflation now, and they're right to be frightened of inflation. And in any case, what they're asking for is to reinflate the bubble. Let's have the bubble back. Let's have the reinflate. That's what they're asking for. But you can't do that. If you do that, you will not solve the problem. As Greenspan found out. In 2001 to 2003. He did that. And now they're all, at the time they were all praising him. What a wonderful man. What a, saved the economy. Now on the one hand they're cursing Greenspan. You're responsible, it's your fault, look at the mess you made. They're cursing Greenspan. And it's true. He was responsible, but he behaved irresponsible from a capitalist point of view. On the other hand, they're saying, let's have some aid, we must reduce interest. So what are you talking about? In other words, they're in a mess. They can't repeat the policies of 2001 to 2003. No, US manufacturing is in a mess. The December figures for manufacturing were the worst figures for 5 years. New home sales fell by 9.6%. That's in 1 month, that's in December. Which left house prices 34.4% lower than what they were a year earlier. At the same time, inflation is rising everywhere. In Japan, the core inflation is now the highest in 10 years. In the USA, inflation in November was 4.3% higher than 1 year earlier. This inflation is a general thing. Now, before they were talking about the dangers of deflation. Now it's inflation this morning. And this will have a most serious effect. Now you see, the one element, that there are some peculiar elements in this boom, which helped the bourgeois for a time. Because inflation, they thought they'd tamed the cycle. That was they've abolished the cycle. That was the argument. Because look, you've got growth and you've got low inflation. Now what's the reason for this? The main reason was the opening up of the enormous increase in world trade. And the entry into the world capitalist market of what, almost 2 billion people? Russia, China, India, the rest of Asia, it's a big fact. There's no question about it, it's a big fact. There was a downward pressure on wages. Although, by the way, inflation is increasing in China now. And wages are increasing in China now. Which you could expect. But anyway, that was the main reason. But none of the fundamental, it was an enormous help, of course. It gave oxygen to the system. It opened up new markets, new fields of investment. No question about it. Of course it was a great assistance. It also led to the cheapening of commodities, the cheapening of commodities. One of the ways in which Marx explains that you combat the falling rate of profit, for those comments that are fascinated by this most fascinating of subjects. The cheapening of commodities is one of the elements. There's been a cheapening of commodities. There's been a cheapening of commodities. Because of the cheap commodities churned out in vast quantities in China. There's not a single computer around this table that isn't either made in China or at least has got a lot of Chinese components in it. And they're cheap components. It's a cheapening. This means very nice. It means cheap televisions and cheap computers and cheap ladies' underwear, cheap all kinds of things. It's very nice. That's one of the reasons why there hasn't been an explosion of the class struggle in the last year. Because the work, even without big wage increases, the workers could still buy quite a lot of things which they couldn't buy before. You know, it's a factor. But that's finished now. Inflation is increasing. They haven't beaten inflation. Inflation is increasing everywhere. And now there's a pressure to keep the wages down. In Britain now, Gordon Brown, he's made the public sector workers an offer which they can't refuse, to quote the Godfather, they can't refuse it. It's a very nice offer. Very nice offer. It's a very nice offer for a Labour leader to give. That the public sector workers are now 20%, I think, aren't they? 20%, something like 20% of the workforce. Or more. Must accept wage increases below the rate of inflation for the next 3 years. Yes. If you expect that, then you're very much mistaken. There will be an explosion of strikes in Britain in the next period, particularly in the public sector, but not only in the public sector. Yes, they must keep wages down. In other words, this is a program for further cuts of living standards. And the masses can't accept this. In any country. In Europe or the United States, they're not going to accept this. But in the so-called third world, I don't like that expression, but I can't find an alternative. It's a terrible situation. Look, in Italy, the cost of... Italy is not quite a third world country. Except Naples. Naples is a third world country. There's a terrible crisis in the south, in Naples, because of the rubbish which is piled up. It's true. It's a serious problem. In Italy, the price of pastas increased. Alexandro, that should cause a revolution in Italy. It's a serious problem, the increased price of pastas. Pastas is a basic necessity. But in Pakistan, India, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, there have been riots in the last few days. There have been riots. Because of the rising price of wheat and rice. People can't afford to eat. I think it must be the same in Mexico, no, Luis Enrique? No, the price of tortilla is increasing. It's increasing, it must be. This is a serious matter. It's a general... Part of the reason for the increase in food prices, by the way, with apologies to my friends, the green comrades, the ecologists. You know, I think of the words of Goering, you know. Every time I hear the expression, save the planet, I reach for my revolver. It's the slogan of the bourgeois now, save the planet, cut living standards. That's the slogan. And some of these fools actually accept this nonsense. This so-called... The Bush has become an ecologist, John. Bush is a big ecologist. He's a big oil man, but he's an ecologist as well. You know? Bush wants to save the planet. So they introduce eco-fuel.
Biofuel.
What's it called? Biofuel. Same thing. Ethanol, isn't it? Ethanol. Which they make it out of maize. And they pay the American... By the way, there's nothing ecological about it. It doesn't save the ecology at all. Because the amount of carbon they produce in producing this is more than what they save. It's a complete racket. They're paying the American, wealthy American farmers huge amounts of subsidies, government subsidies, of course. To produce this crap, this ethanol. And it's driving up food prices on a world scale. It's a knock-on effect. Fidel Castro predicted it would cause hunger, and he was right. But this increase of this combination of an economic status doesn't matter if it's not a recession, actually. It doesn't make any difference to us. The combination of an economic slowdown, which is the most favorable scenario for the capitalists. For the capitalists. And inflation. It's a finished recipe for an outburst of the class struggle everywhere. including Russia. I was discussing with Tom, including Russia. Well, the Russian working class was on the floor for some for a decade, probably on the floor. It is an animal struggle for existence, for survival. And now you get an economic upturn. I predicted this to Sergei Bietz 8 years ago. There'll be the conditions for a wave of economic strikes, first of all. And the Russian workers need that to get their confidence back. But in countries like Bangladesh, Pakistan and Afghanistan, this is a catastrophe. I don't want to intrude upon the perspectives of Pakistan. But the PPP will come to power in this situation, where the masses will be demanding bread. How can they solve this? How can they solve this problem? They can't solve it. And that the very serious consequences flow from this. In Bangladesh also, by the way, where there's a military dictatorship similar to Musharraf, I think. The leader of Bangladesh, I forgot his name. Whatever you say. It was a name anyway. Said, and I quote, on the basis of these riots, food riots, he said the following. The country is facing catastrophe. And that means that this regime is finished in Bangladesh. We have to look at Bangladesh. Because I think that Bangladesh can go the same way that Pakistan is going.